Welcome to the Bruce Siski Show. Follow the Bruce Siski Show on Twitter to interact anytime. Got something on your mind? You can text Bruce during the show by using the short code 84454. You're listening to the Bruce Siski Show on 610 and FM 103.9 KDAL.
It is a Thursday morning, 10:13, Bruce Siski Show on KDAL. And as I said, if we get any more info on this Timberwolves news with Glenn Taylor apparently pulling back from the sale of the team to Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez, we will pass that along to you. But we told you what we knew, which is that Taylor is going to maintain controlling interest and the team is no longer for sale. So any more info, we'll pass it along. But we are also going to talk some hockey today because the NCAA tournament is underway today. Two of the four regionals kicking off in Springfield, Mass. And Sioux Falls. We go now to Sioux Falls. Our friend from therinklive.com covering Gopher hockey is Jess Myers. Good morning.
Good morning, Bruce. How are you?
I'm good. It's nice to know that neither of us are buying the Timberwolves either.
Yeah, and you know, in the world of that somehow makes sense geographically in the NCAA, out in Sioux Falls with Boston University, and then in Springfield, Massachusetts, we've got Denver playing there, both today. So somebody needs to get a map, I think, at some point, but that's just me spitballing on how things could go better, maybe.
So here, and we'll touch on the Gophers in Omaha. We'll get to this regional, which I think is a very interesting one, and just, you know, the atmosphere we're expecting to see today and Saturday in Sioux Falls, which I think will be very good. But I want to touch on this first. How fitting is it that David Carl spends a good chunk of the second half of the season, especially the month of January, talking about the regional system in college hockey and how he thinks it needs to be fixed, pushing forward a proposal to fix it and change things and do things differently, and then it's his team that gets to hop in a bird for 3 hours and fly to Massachusetts for what's going to basically be a road game this afternoon as a number one seed?
We listened to him describe the problem, and then the NCAA helped him illustrate the problem, apparently. It's kind of neat the way that works out, I guess. But, yeah, and that should be a great game today in Springfield. Denver and Massachusetts, you know, two pretty recent NCAA tournament winners. I watched that Denver team last weekend. They're real good. I mean, you've seen them this year. But, yeah, just the way things worked out. And, again, I'm out in Sioux Falls. I'm staying at the same hotel as the Boston University folks. The band showed up last night. I mean, people are excited from BU to come out here. I just don't think it should be 3 hours flight on the other side of the country when you've got a regional in your own state, and you know your reward is, hey, let's go out to the prairie and have to basically play, you know, either Minnesota or Omaha in a road game if BU can win today.
And that's the other thing, too, is, yeah, BU's got the same issue as the number two national seed. They spend, you know, they get to hop only one time zone, unlike Denver hopping two. But still, like you said, if their reward if they survive RIT today is what's going to basically be a road game on Saturday night against either the Gophers or Omaha.
And, you know, what's fun, though, talking to our friend Bernie Corbett, the long radio voice of BU, and Brian Kelly, who's been there in the sports information office forever, two great guys. They were excited about the fact that they said, I think South Dakota is the 40th state they've visited. And in the off day, if it works out, we may actually take a bus, and I'm going to take them to Iowa, too, so they can cross that one off their list as well.
There you go.
A little far to go to Mount Rushmore. It's about 11 hours round trip from Sioux Falls. I don't think that's going to happen. So the typical South Dakota attractions will have to wait. But, hey, you know, it's all about seeing new parts of the country or something.
Jess Myers of The Rink Live. Let's dive into this Sioux Falls regional. And you mentioned BU, you know, coming all the way out here to play Rochester Institute of Technology. And that's, by the way, Rochester, they ain't the one in Minnesota. That's the one in New York. So they're also coming a long way to play this game this afternoon at 4 o'clock at the Denny Sanford Premier Center. It feels like this is BU's game, but RIT, as you pointed out yesterday, they're coming in here a little bit hot.
Yeah. You know, they're the one team in this regional that's coming off a win in their last game. So good for them. And RIT, this is their fourth trip. Wayne Wilson's an experienced guy. Sorry, Bulldog fans, but he was a member of that 1984 Bowling Green team that won the national championship. So he's been around. He knows stuff. They were in a Frozen Four all the way back in 2010 in Detroit. So, you know, you got a team that's experienced. They're older. You know, a lot of them have talked about that. But this is an older team, whereas, you know, Boston University has got one of the brightest stars in college hockey, Macklin Celebrini. And, oh, by the way, he's 17 years old, you know, getting toward the end of his first year of college here, which is just amazing, the discrepancy in experience between some of these guys.
And that, you know, maybe that is an issue because RIT is the oldest team in the country coming into this game. And, you know, we've seen it before. It wouldn't be the first time that a team full of 17 and 18-year-olds struggled when playing against 24 and 25-year-olds.
Absolutely. You know, we're still, you know, I cover the Gophers. Their fans are still talking about Union in 2014 and how old that team was. And that was 10 years ago. So those memories die hard. But, yeah, that's just part of the fun of this time of year, too, is little things like that that people make a big deal out of when, in the end, it generally comes down to goaltending, right?
Typically, these games do. Special teams and goaltending, although we were talking to Maura Crowley, a UMD women's coach, yesterday, off a women's national championship that saw zero penalties called, and it feels like that's kind of the direction we're going in a lot of these bigger games, is you're not seeing a lot of penalties, so special teams don't matter as much as goaltending does.
You know, and that's a factor with a team like Michigan, which I've covered also, which has just a deadly power play. They got one power play in that semifinal game they played against Minnesota, and they weren't able to convert. So if you take that part away, you know, if you take the one thing that a team relies on and you take it away, that can make a huge factor, too, where all of a sudden you're seeing upsets or you're seeing unexpected results that people might have thought of.
Game two of the night in Sioux Falls at 7:30, Minnesota versus Omaha. Omaha is here because they are the host for this regional. They have to play in Sioux Falls. I would assume that there's a lot of Omaha people that are excited. That's about a 3.5-hour drive, if I remember correctly, from Omaha to Sioux Falls. It's not that difficult. I got to think they'll bring some people to this, and that they're pumped to see their team take on one of the blue bloods of college hockey tonight in Minnesota.
Yeah, there's some excitement definitely in Omaha. And keep in mind, a lot of these guys who are seniors and fifth-year guys for Omaha, their first NCAA tournament experience was 3 years ago against Minnesota out in Loveland, Colorado, and Minnesota ran them pretty good. So there's maybe a little bit of an anger factor there, a revenge factor that they want to get. You know, Minnesota comes in here, frankly, not playing great. Didn't show a lot of life in that playoff loss to Michigan. That was 2 weeks ago. Now, you ask Bob Motzko, do you recover from that? How do you get your groove back? He was quick to remind me that, you know, they've lost to Michigan the last 3 years now in the Big Ten playoffs, and they've bounced back and made it to the Frozen Four in the previous two. So he's not too concerned about that. Now, it's kind of neat hearing from Bob Motzko. Way back in 1998, he was the first ever coach and general manager of the Sioux Falls Stampede in the USHL when they started up. So he talked about coming back here to Omaha and how it's kind of there's some cool memories for him and kind of fun to see how the hockey community here has grown.
Yeah, what are you noticing in Sioux Falls? We were there in 2018. It was UMD, Air Force, Minnesota State, and St. Cloud State. It was Bob's last game at St. Cloud State, actually, was that regional semifinal against Air Force in Sioux Falls. Air Force got the money that day, and then Bob left to become the Gophers coach. But, you know, it feels like that is it's a growing market. It's a growing city. But from a hockey standpoint, number one, that's a wonderful building. And number two, even without the host, North Dakota, making the tournament in 2018, they darn near filled it both days.
Yeah, and you know, you're seeing them opening up extra areas of the rink for more ticket sales in the last couple of days here, so there's clearly a level of excitement. You know, you've got the new arena at Augustana across town, and now they've got Division I hockey in this town. They've got something like 700 players in the youth hockey system here, so Moscow's kind of funny line with, he says, I know you people think you're a basketball town, but be careful. I think you may have become a hockey town here in the last couple of years.
Yeah, you'll enjoy the atmosphere in the Premier Center, no doubt about it, here today and Saturday for this regional. So, you, stylistically, how have you seen the Gophers adapt? Because we saw how good they were, especially the back end with Lacombe and Faber and Ryan Johnson and company last year. How have you seen this team adapt to not necessarily having the top-end talent, you know, given, you know, guy the Jimmy Snuggerud up front?
You know, it's funny. I talked to Jimmy Snuggerud last week, and he was in kind of a slump for most of February. He went he had an 11-game stretch where he had just one goal after being on a complete heater when he got back from the World Juniors. But the one big difference he pointed out from last year's team to this year's team is, he said, let's face it, a lot of things came easy last year. It was pretty easy to just watch Matthew Nyes do what he did or watch Logan Cooley do what he did. And this year's team has had to adopt kind of more of a workmanlike attitude. It's like, you know, you can't wait for somebody else to get it done. You have to step up and make the moves yourselves. They've been good on defense, certainly not like they were last year with three guys who are now in the NHL playing on their back end. They've gotten good goaltending. You just need a player like Snuggerud or even Jackson Nelson, who's been hot lately, to step up at this time of year, and I'm interested to see who that will be for them.
Watching Omaha, the number of times I've had a chance to see them this year, there's a couple of things that stand out. We talked to Dave Starman a little bit about this yesterday on the radio show. Number one, they've got some size, but they're not the biggest team when you look at their roster, but they play – this is a team that plays bigger than it is. They kind of that heavier style. They're really good in the ground game below the dots. And face-offs, my goodness, they're good in the face-off circle. They got a couple of guys that are upwards 55-60% on the year, and they've both taken a ton of face-offs. They win a lot of draws. We saw them score a couple of times off set plays off face-offs in the semifinals against North Dakota last week. It seems like this is the kind of team that could give Minnesota a lot of fits, but like we, you know, this is not the same Gopher team as last year. They can play a little heavier.
Absolutely. And, you know, the faceoffs are going to be an interesting factor to watch tonight. 7:30 start. Minnesota was bad in the faceoff circle against Michigan. Bob Motzko talked about that. You know, the fact that when you're starting every faceoff with the other team having possession, it wears you out after a while. So if Omaha all of a sudden starts possessing the puck and playing that kind of game, that's going to be something that Minnesota is going to have to counteract. Now, the weapon that Minnesota has is Steve Miller. You know, he's just such an experienced coach and such a great defensive mind that I think they're going to be able to come up with a game plan to at least counter some of what Omaha does. But this really should be a great game.
And it comes down to a couple of, you know, one of my favorite things about college hockey, Jess, is that we can keep we keep some really good goalies because the NHL doesn't want them when they're not 6'5" anymore. And we've got a couple of really good ones here in Justin Close for Minnesota and Simon Lakosi for Omaha, who is one of the more athletic goaltenders you'll see anywhere.
And I'll tell you, here's the X factor I'm looking for. Bryce Brodzinski just set the Gophers' program record all time, 183 games played. He joked about it. He said, you know, I would have preferred to set a record for goals or assists or maybe something sexier like that. But he said, if I'm in the record books, I'll take it. He went on a heater last year at the regional level. And I talked to the coaches and some of the players, and it's like he's the kind of guy that you need to step up at this level at this time of year.
And that's the other thing too, and experience matters too, Jess. Right, and yes, the Gophers lost a lot off last year's team. We understand that, but they've got a lot of guys back that played in one, if not two, Frozen Fours here. They know what it takes to get there.
Here's the numerology. If you're into that thing, I had somebody point this out to me. 2021, Bob Motzko's Gophers won one NCAA playoff game against Omaha. 22, they won two games. Last year, they won three games. So it just follows that this is the year that you're going to win four games. No, but it's funny, though, talking to the coaches about last year, because a lot of people have mentioned the Quinnipiac game this year where, you know, Minnesota had a collection of talent like maybe we've never seen before, and they weren't able to get it done. And Bob Motzko was frank about it and just said, we're going to take that to our graves. You know, that's something you never really get over. But in a weird bit of faith, he said, you know, you watch sports long enough, you know at some point a team like the Minnesota Vikings is going to win a Super Bowl. So he's got maybe more faith than I do. So, you know, maybe there's that feeling that, hey, it's going to be somebody's turn. Why not ours?
A couple more talkers here for Jess Myers, therinklive.com. You mentioned the Gophers didn't play last week because they lost to Michigan in the Big Ten semifinals the week before. How did Bob handle the week off?
You know, it's funny. Talking to Heather Weems, the commissioner of the NCHC last week, and because, as you know, the NCHC is going to go away from the single-site tournament,
yep,
and they're going to go to a three-week tournament system like the Big Ten has. Bob Motzko absolutely hates that. He's the guy who's out there saying, let's go back to one site. You know, I know there's issues with attendance, especially in a conference like the Big Ten where you're so geographically spread out, but you look at a team like Wisconsin, they got beat 2 weeks ago. They're going into an NCAA tournament game one and done, having not played seemingly since about Valentine's Day. That's a huge disadvantage for the Big Ten and these leagues that spread their playoffs out over a long time like that. So I think they're handling it okay. A couple of years now in a row, Motzko has done this. He's put his team on a bus. He's taken them out to small-town Minnesota somewhere. Last year it was Rochester. This year he took them up to Brainerd. He was kind of quiet about it, but they get away. They stay at a hotel or they stay at a resort. They have some practices kind of out out of the norm. Minnesota has not played a road game, a game outside of the Twin Cities, since February 17th. So he said, you know, we're getting kind of sick of hanging around campus. We're getting kind of sick of looking at the same people. It's good to get on a bus. It's good to get out of town.
And I bring this up because you referenced Wisconsin. Badgers haven't, it's been almost 3 weeks since their last game, which is just crazy to me. But again, you said it, you know, the NCHC's going to this format. The Big Ten's already there. This is, it's not a trend right now. We don't have a lot of data on how teams are going to perform when they have all this kind of time off at this point in the season. But what we do know is it's going to happen a lot more often as long as these teams are using the conference tournament formats they're using right now.
Yep, and keep in mind, too, the Big Ten still with seven teams means everybody has a bye weekend at some point in the second half of the season. If you happen to be the unlucky team that ends the season, the regular season, on a bye week, and then you win the league, that means you get 2 weeks off going into a one-game playoff. It's just, it's not a perfect system, and I don't know if there's a perfect solution. But, you know, it's interesting to hear some coaches say, hey, let's go back to the way we did it before. You know, whether it be campus sites for the NCAA tournament, whether it be a one-site tournament for Big Ten, all of that.
And I can tell you that this change in the NCHC was not unanimous. I have heard from a couple of coaches that one that basically said he's against it, another one was kind of, I don't know about this, but they're going to try it. They're going to see what happens, and there might be a push to go back for them too. But again, just like the Big Ten, next year the NCHC has nine teams, which means everybody gets a bye week in the second. Then the schedule's always been structured that way anyways, but now you're guaranteed everyone's going to get a bye week in the second half, and someone's going to be on a bye week the last weekend of the regular season, which is a whole different topic because I don't think the coaches know how they want to handle that yet either.
Maybe the best comment I heard about this is an administrator in college hockey said, you know what, coaches always want us to do whatever worked for them the last time. And it's worth pointing out, the one time that Bob Motzko has won the Big Ten tournament as head coach at Minnesota was 2021 when they were in a pod. They played the whole thing at Notre Dame over the course of 3 days. You know, the Gophers won three games in three nights and won a Big Ten tournament. So, hey, that worked for him. Of course, he thinks, let's go to that system because that's what worked most recently. So, you know, it's something that could be debated forever. You know, we're constantly changing. I go all the way back to the days when we had a two-game total goal series, as goofy as that used to be.
I miss that.
The only thing I miss about that is when you look in a media guide from, you're looking at scores from the 1980s, and you see a team won a playoff game 5-1 in overtime. That's the only thing I miss.
Well, the other thing I miss is, you know, so you lose 5-2 the first night, you're up 4-2 the second night, you have to pull your goaltender when you're up by two goals in a game because you need to get one more goal to force overtime, like you just said.
Absolutely.
That's the best part.
Jeff Sauer used to talk about going to, I think it was St. Lawrence, for a two-game total goal series, and he said he had a freshman goalie, I can't remember who, might have been Curtis Joseph, who literally didn't understand the way the system worked. Gophers got down by a couple in the third, and their goalie just gave up, and they wind up losing by five. Well, you're pretty much cooked for the next night when that happens. Well,
it's like in soccer where they do the aggregate. You'll play, you know, home and home or whatever. And it's a two-game series, and they use the aggregate score. Your road goals count and double. We're missing the boat here, man. We should be doing that.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's your words, not mine, but sure. Go ahead.
Well, if we're gonna change stuff, why not go back? Why not go back to two game total goals?
You know, my only change, Bruce, is get rid of Cotton Eye Joe. That's my only real change I want to see in college hockey. That, and if a puck hits the net behind the goal and bounces back, rink, keep playing. You know, let's get some goals off of goofy bounces off the net.
Why not, Jess? I appreciate it, man. Thank you. Enjoy the regional in Sioux Falls.
Thank you. Good to talk to you.
All right, Jess Myers, The Rink Live. TheRinkLive.com. They'll have complete coverage of the Gophers tonight against Omaha. 7:30 is the faceoff at the Denny Sanford Premier Center. Winners advance to a regional final. It'll be played on Saturday for a spot in the Frozen Four, which begins 2 weeks from today at the X in St. Paul. 10:32, more on the breaking Timberwolves news as we continue on KDAL.
This is the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm. We'll talk Minnesota hockey next. Homeowners, you've got an excavation project on the mind and you can't wait to get started on it. At Gopher State One Call, we get it. It can be tempting to dig in, but as a homeowner, you need to ensure your site meets government standards. Click or call before you dig and take advantage of our easy-to-use internet ticketing system. Map out your work site and wait just 48 hours after calling to start your project. It's easy, it's smart, and it's the law. Stay safe this summer and call Gopher State One Call. Dial 811, proud sponsor of Gopher Athletics.
The 7th-ranked University of Minnesota men's hockey team takes on 11th-rated Omaha in the opening round of the NCAA tournament tonight in Sioux Falls. Gopher forward Connor Kurth is ready to go and says they know they'll have to fall back on their vast postseason experience.
You don't got to force anything. It's just about doing the little things right and playing playoff hockey, and then it'll come. Just you'll get the feel once it's in, but you got to get into the game first and get the feel of the game. And, you know, it's playoffs and we've been off, so I think it just starts from getting your mind right and getting into the game early and not trying to worry about, oh, I need to be the guy, but just doing as best you can and playing playoff hockey.
Almost trust the process.
Exactly.
Just get out there and play your game.
Yep.
You guys, by the time you guys hit the ice, it'll be, I think, 12 days since you guys played against Michigan. Is there anything you have to do to make sure that you're dialed in right off the start, having not played?
Yeah. I mean, we play bye weeks during the year, so it's not terrible. And we got up to Brainerd and did a scrimmage, so we at least got the feel going, so I don't think it should be too bad. But yeah, it's just like anything, you just got to be ready, and that's part of being an athlete. And whenever you're called upon, you got to be up and ready to go.
That's Gopher forward Connor Kurth. To hear my entire 35-minute interview with Connor, listen to this week's Go Gopher podcast. Tonight's game starts at 7:30. That's the Golden Gopher Daily Update. I'm Mike Grimm.
Listen on your Echo device.
Just say something like this.
Alexa, play KDAL Radio.
All right, so I'm the first to admit that club ownership is not a strong suit for me. The business of sports, I read what I know. So we're going to read what we know on this ongoing Timberwolves situation. The breaking news from the top of the hour, Glenn Taylor announcing that he is remaining the controlling owner of the Timberwolves, and they are no longer for sale. We'll get the latest on that coming up. But first, the CBS News Update, 1039, Bruce Siskey Show on KDAL.
The Bruce Siskey Show.
I have never heard someone say so many wrong things, one after the other, consecutively in a row.
On 610 and FM 103.9, KDAL.
1044, sorry we're late. We were late getting into Jess. We went long with Jess, but we love Jess. All right, breaking news on the radio show this morning, mentioned off the top of the show, news from the Timberwolves as Glenn Taylor announcing the team is no longer for sale and that Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez did not meet contractual deadlines and did not get payments submitted a whole bit on time. So we have some more information from John Krasinski of The Athletic. And he says this story at theathletic.com will be updated. The announcement comes a week after minority owners Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez submitted signed financial documentation to the NBA to complete the acquisition for majority control of the franchises that per multiple sources briefed on the matter. So that would tell us that they met those deadlines. Here's from Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN via X at Woj ESPN, W-O-J ESPN. I'm confident we'll learn more from these various insiders throughout the day. The relationship between Taylor and his successors disintegrated over the last 2+ years, sources tell ESPN. Lowry Rodriguez did raise money necessary to purchase controlling interest, but Taylor contends they did not meet contractual deadlines throughout the transition. So that's what we know right now. And I know it's murky and we don't know much, and I don't want to get into a whole lot of speculation, but the $1.5 billion valuation for the Timberwolves in this sale was a little bit low. Let's be honest. It was probably low, and it was based on a couple of things. You know, obviously lack of success of the franchise, but also Target Center. Target Center is not a top-tier arena. I think Johnny and I have talked about this before on the radio show. If you want to search back in the podcast page, we've had John Krasinski on a few times. At some point along the way, we discussed the issues that exist with Target Center. And he pointed out it's one of very few arenas still in use that have more upper deck seats than premium seats. The lower level seats that you can make more money on. And that has been a bone of contention for some time. And yes, they did somewhat recently do the full-on renovation of Target Center, and it's a much nicer building now than it was then. But the problem is that was a structural flaw, a design flaw, basically, that existed when that building was constructed back, you know, circa 1990, and there's only so much you can do on the fly about that. So, we don't know a whole lot. It sounds like there was some friction behind the scenes, and Glenn Taylor has made the decision, and it's his team. He's made the decision that this team is no longer for sale. What it means going forward for the Timberwolves, great question. And I'll reach out to John today. We'll try to get him on the radio show. If not tomorrow, then next week. And try to get a few more details from him. But it seems like this muddies some water that was already not exactly clear in terms of the future of the franchise and what this is going to mean going forward. These are great questions that it would be complete speculation to get into right now. What we do know is this team's hopping a bird for Denver and a major game tomorrow night with the Nuggets. This is this will be a playoff intensity type of game. Both teams will come in rested. They should have their full lineups, it's with the exception of Karl Anthony Towns, of course, for the Timberwolves, who's going to remain out. But this is a playoff preview tomorrow night to the Mile High City. Our coverage begins at 7:45 from Denver tomorrow here on KDAL. Mentioned NCAA hockey, and we talked to Jess Myers extensively about that. Springfield Regional, 1 p.m. game, UMass Amherst versus Denver. 4:30, Cornell takes on Maine. I feel like for Denver as a number 3 national seed, this is about as difficult a draw as you could have come up with. And it's circumstances, right? It's the system. And, you know, David Carl, you've heard him on this show talk about it. He's been vocal about his desire to see this system change. And what's ironic about it is there's a very good chance, in my view, David Carl's coaching the NHL before these changes are ever made, because they can't be made till at least the 2027 tournament. Everything is awarded up to that point. But those discussions will happen in Naples when they have their coaches meeting, and I hope that there's some movement. I'm somewhat optimistic from the people I've talked to around the game. I am somewhat optimistic we will see movement on this issue and maybe at least some sort of a change that gets us closer to high seeds hosting these opening round games, as they probably should be. Denver should not be rewarded for a number 3 national seed with a 3-hour plane flight and what's going to basically be a road game today against UMass, which is the host of the regional in Springfield, not far from Amherst. That should not be the case. And if they get by UMass this afternoon, their reward is going to be either Cornell or Maine in what's supposed to be a neutral environment, but won't be on Saturday, because whatever crowd shows up is going to cheer for Cornell or Maine, whoever wins that late game at 4:30. Meanwhile, in Sioux Falls, RIT, Boston University at 4, Omaha, Minnesota at 7:30. And Jess is right. Could somebody get a map? Why is BU playing in Sioux Falls and Denver's playing in Springfield? It doesn't make any sense. BU's the number 2 national seed. Their reward was about a 2.5-hour flight from Boston to Sioux Falls to play a regional. Meanwhile, your number 4 national seed, the last of the number 1s, is Michigan State. Their reward is to go to Missouri to play Western Michigan. They can bus from one place to the other, Kalamazoo and East Lansing. Instead, they're both going to get in a bird and go to Missouri and play tomorrow at 4 o'clock. Again, it doesn't make any sense. This is not NCAA men's basketball that sells out arenas wherever they go and sells out stadiums wherever they go. It doesn't function the same way here. Let's fix the system. 10:50. Wrap it up in a moment. Bruce Siski Show, Thursday morning edition on KDAL.
Dave Ramsey.
Pretty easy.
Afternoons on KDAL.
10:59. Again, if you haven't heard, the Timberwolves are no longer being sold to Mark Lowry and Alex Rodriguez. Glenn Taylor announcing the franchise is no longer for sale. about an hour or so ago. We're back tomorrow. Latest on that, plus Matthew Caller, Purple Insider, scheduled to join tomorrow. We'll talk Vikings offseason, and they've been plenty busy. That's on the radio show tomorrow. Enjoy your Thursday. Brad and Kenny up next. Thank you so much for listening. It's coming up at 11 o'clock.
This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. Hit us up on Twitter at Bruce Siskey Show and let us know what you think.
No, yes, no. Well, no, I crossed my mind.
Visit KDAL610.com to podcast today's show anytime.
What'd you say?
Listen to shows on demand and download for free. You can also subscribe via Spotify or your favorite podcast app. This has been the Bruce Siskey Show. CBS News is up next. For more than 80 years, KDAL 103.9, W28 FBFM, and 610 KDAL Duluth Superior, a Midwest communication station. KDAL.